praise your name. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah, Father. I love God's people coming together. There's just something so precious and so powerful about it when we come together, you know, united in purpose. And, you know, He's the purpose. His will is the purpose. Hallelujah. And it's always good to be in unity with the Father, right? It's always good to be in unity. Praise the Lord. And I just give the Lord glory tonight for everyone here and for what God's purpose is over tonight is and over the message. And Lord, we just come before and we just ask you, Father, to speak into our hearts. Father, speak to us, oh God. Lord, we're here to hear your voice. We're here, Lord, to grow closer to you, oh God. Lord, to know more of you, Father. Lord, because the more we know you, the more we love you, Father. You are irresistible, precious Savior. You are irresistible. And we are just so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful that we're never alone. We're so grateful that you didn't leave us orphans, praise the Lord, but that you are always with us. You are ever present, oh God. Lord, we just are so very grateful for you. And we just give you the glory and we give you the honor and we give you the praise tonight, oh God. And Lord, we just ask you to have your way, precious Father. Have your way in our minds and in our hearts. Have your way in our lives and in our walk, oh God. Have your way in us, Father. Lord, that we would be a light in a dark place. Lord, that we would be the reflection of Jesus Christ to the world, oh God, in such a time as this, Father. And Lord, we just give you praise tonight and we just thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, we say amen. Hallelujah. So the month of July, we've been focusing on freedom to change. Freedom to change. Boy, change is not an easy thing, right? I don't know about you, but for me, change is not an easy thing. I'm the girl that wanted to live in our house until, you know, our grandchildren were married, you know, just so the grandkids could come home and see where mom's room was and the stability of it, the long lastingness of it, right? I'm not the girl that likes change. And God sent us to Mexico. That was a lot of change. That was a lot of change. And it was quick change. It was fast. And I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy with all the change. Because change is often painful, right? It often hurts. But praise the Lord, we have freedom through what Christ did on the cross to change. Change is not impossible. I had a pastor once tell me, well, you know, old dogs don't learn new tricks. And I kindly looked at him and said, that's not biblical. Because if Christ Jesus lives in us, if Holy Spirit lives in us, we are free to change. And we are already a new creation and we just have to walk it out. Right? Second Corinthians 5:17, right? If we're in Christ, we're a new creation. The old is gone. Yeah. Right? Yeah. What do you mean old dogs can't learn new tricks? Oh, right? Every day. We can be who we want to be. We can be different. We can change. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter where we've been. What matters is what Jesus Christ did, gave us freedom to change. Not only freedom, but also the ability to change. I can't change in my own strength or I'd be model Barbie. Right? But through the Holy Spirit, I'm 40 pounds less than I was last year. That's something. That's something. Doesn't matter what age we are. If Holy Spirit lives in us, we are freed to change. And that's a beautiful thing. And it's not something we talk about a whole lot, is it? Except for this month, we're talking about it. Praise the Lord. And I believe two reasons we're free to change. I already said the first, because of what Christ did on the cross. And the second, well, I already said that too, because Holy Spirit lives in us and He's our helper. He's our counselor. He's our guide and He's so much more, but we are never alone. Hallelujah. And we are most assuredly not powerless.
powerless. And that means not powerless to change. Anything we bring before the Lord and we submit to Him can be changed for His glory. Hallelujah. And I am grateful for that. I am excited about that. Okay, so Isaiah 61, verse 3. Whew, I'll tell you why I'm so excited about that. Because today I stand before you not who I was. I have changed. I am not the girl I used to be. I am not the young spring chicken Scott married, praise the Lord. I have matured, not only in life or in physically, but spiritually I've grown up. Not that there isn't more growing up to do, but I have changed and I am evidence of that. My walk with the Lord is evidence of the change that has taken place in me. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61, 3, praise the Lord, I do too. This scripture, first of all, I want to tell you, this scripture is prophecy in Isaiah. In Isaiah, this scripture is prophecy. Christ hasn't been born yet. It hasn't happened yet, but it's telling us what's going to be. Right? Okay, let's read that. Hallelujah. Okay, before I read that, the Lord is talking here and I got to listen. Okay, so in Isaiah, this scripture is prophecy. But in Luke, the word, this scripture is absolutely fulfilled. So I'm sorry, Charles, I'm sorry. Luke 4, verse 18 and 19 says this. You don't have to pull it up, Charles. But in Luke 4, verse 18 and 19 says this. Oh, we're going to go to verse 21. Sorry. It says, and he began to say them, this is speaking of Christ, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's Luke 4, 21 and 22. Oh, he pulled it up. Look at that. Okay. So in Isaiah 61, we've got prophecy. Here in Luke, Jesus is saying to the people, I have fulfilled this prophecy. I am this prophecy and I am here. Now, they weren't really ready to hear it, were they? But he was telling them. So Isaiah is fulfilled right there in Luke chapter 4. But we're going to go back to Isaiah, and I want to read this, what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah 3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Hallelujah. This is so exciting. Okay, I have recently become acquainted with mourning in all its glorious ways. I have, since losing my father, which I know he's in heaven, I absolutely know that. There's no problem there. But I'll just be driving down the road and something will spark a memory. And the next thing I know, I'm bawling like a baby. My daughter and I will be working around the yard or hear a chicken crow and we'll look at each other and say, well, that reminds me of Papa. And we'll just start crying. Hallelujah. To mourn is to feel or express a deep sorrow or grief or regret for someone or something. Like the loss of someone you hold dear. Or the loss of time. Or the loss of life or family. Or the loss of innocence. Or the loss of dreams or hopes. You can mourn all of these things. And in studying mourning, because I was going through this wave, this ocean of uncharted territory for me, I learned that there are a minimum of 6 different forms of grief. Did you know that? I had no idea. But in reading about grief, I also learned something. I learned that I had grieved before and I didn't know I was grieving. I had lost other family members and grieved them. And I understood that as grieving. But I was grieving something different. I was grieving what wasn't versus what was. I was grieving the loss of what I felt was my hopes and my dreams. The loss of where I thought I would be versus where I was. And I was grieving these things. The loss of time. The loss of a dream or hope. Have anybody ever been there before? Have you ever felt like where you were wasn't where you were supposed to be? Certainly wasn't where you wanted to be. And what happened to where you wanted to be? You were grieving the loss of that. I realized I had been grieving these things. And I didn't acquaint it to mourning or to grief, because it wasn't about a death, but in the aspect that I understood grieving, it was certainly about a death, because I thought my dreams were dead. I thought what I wanted my life to be was over, or what it should have been wasn't happening. Hallelujah. And then I remembered when I was 10 years old, I used to collect stamps from other countries. The pastor of this little tiny church we were in, it was like a glorified chicken coop. I mean, it had been a chicken coop in its previous days. So it was small. And the pastor used to support missionaries in other countries. And he'd save me the stamps, and I would collect those stamps. There were stamps like Paraguay and Nicaragua and Guatemala and Brazil. And I thought all those stamps were so cool. And I remember my parents and I, we went into the church early one day for some reason. I was 10. I don't remember the reason. I don't remember anything. I just remember I was sitting in the front row looking at these new batch of stamps that he had brought me. And I began to cry. At 10 years old, and I felt compelled to go to the altar. No one was in the sanctuary with me. I was all by myself, and I went to the altar, and I knelt down, and I began to pray. And I began to tell the Lord, Lord, this would be the coolest thing to get to go to other countries and tell people about your love. Lord, what could be more awesome? What could be more incredible than sharing your love? I want to do that at 10 years old. And then life marched on. That was a pivotal moment in my life. It was a profound moment in my life that, because of the course of my life, I totally forgot it. In that moment, it was so powerful. I remember it now because the Lord brought it back to my memory in Mexico. But I remember it now, and it was so powerful, and it was so important, and yet I totally forgot it. How does that happen? Hallelujah. Because life and circumstances get in the way. You know, life just goes on, and things are pushed to the side, and things are changed. And now, this was years later, I was sitting in my living room at my house in Lake of the Woods. We only lived in that house for three and a half years. And I remember on this night, there was this huge storm going on. And I loved storms. And I opened up the living room door, and I had a large front living room window, and I opened up the curtains and the windows, and I moved my recliner over in front into the middle of that window, and I sat there and watched the storm, and I could just see the trees moving, and I could see the lightning, and I could hear the thunder, and I began to cry. And I began to weep before the Lord, and I began to say, Lord, at that time I thought I was old. Now I know what older is. It wasn't then. But I thought I was old. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, I'm here. This isn't exactly where I wanted to be. I felt this hole in my heart, and I didn't know what this hole was. This is the time I was grieving, and I didn't understand for what I was grieving. I didn't know for what it was that I was grieving until the Lord began to give me this message. And I was praying, Lord, I don't want this to be the sum total of my life. I love being a mother. I love being a wife, but it's not all, and I don't understand, and I don't want this to be all. I want to be used for you. I was born to be used for you, and here I sit. And I just began to weep. And I began to weep and weep and weep. Lord, use me. Have you ever been there? Lord, use me. Don't wait until I'm an old lady to use me. Don't wait until I'm old for me to get over me. For me to get out of your way. I understood then that I'm the problem. I get that. But I was grieving that I was a problem. I was grieving that I wasn't where I wanted to be, that I wanted God to somehow use my life in a more powerful way. And I had not realized that hope or that dream. And I sat there and I just cried before the Lord. I just cried and I prayed and I called out to him, Lord, use me. Use me. I want to be used for you. Hallelujah. If you can relate to this, if you can say, I've been there, I want you to know this message is for you. For anyone who's ever mourned or ever grieved at what was or what could have been, how many times, oh, Lord, if I'd have just done this, what could have been? Or, Lord, if I'd have just gone there, what could it have been? Right? Sometimes we grieve those things. And sometimes we have a habit of continually looking back, looking back, looking back. And when we're looking backwards, we can't see where we're going or what's ahead. Oh, you know, Paul says in the New Testament, he said, this one thing I've learned, to not look back, but to press ahead. We have to learn to press ahead. We have to learn to press in to the Lord and not look back and not mourn what was behind us or what used to be or what could have been, but to press in to the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion. Do you know who consoled me? That night, sitting there mourning in that chair, not even understanding that I was mourning, it was the Holy Spirit. As I began to pour out my hopes and my dreams and my fears and my doubts and my lack of understanding, Holy Spirit came in and ministered to my heart. It was that year, later in the year, we took a trip to Mexico, a mission trip. And on that mission trip, the Lord told me he was going to send me back to Mexico. I had no idea what God had planned. I had no idea. And after I got to Mexico, and we were a missionary there in Mexico, and I remember I was praying, and I was asking the Lord, Lord, why did you choose us? I feel so ill-prepared for what we are facing or what we are going through or what we're supposed to do. I feel so ill prepared. I don't understand. Why did you choose us? Why did you choose me? Do you know what the Lord's answer to me was? He reminded me of that day when I was 10 years old. Now I'm in my 30s at this point. I was in my 30s when we went to Mexico. He reminded me of that day when I was 10, crying out to him at the altar. How great it would be to go and tell people about the love of Jesus. And that dream that I had at 10 years old that I didn't even know was a dream, that was something I let go of and something forgotten. But I remember at that altar at 10, something important took place in me. I don't know what it was, but it took place in me. And years later, when I was 30, this is 20 years later, the Lord brought it back to me. This is why. Because you hungered for this. You didn't know what this was and you desired it. And I realized that all those years later, the Lord had fulfilled a dream in me. And he had turned my mourning to joy. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And it says, those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Now I can see that night when I was mourning what I thought I had lost. That night, he turned my mourning to joy. And he set me on a course to Mexico. And now I see, now I realize that he turned the ashes where I felt dreams and hopes had burned up. He turned my ashes, hallelujah, into something beautiful. Into something beautiful. He took what I thought was destroyed and not alive, and he turned it into something beautiful. And only now do I recognize what he did. Only now can I see the beauty that came out of that night, the beauty that came out of where I was and what I thought. You know, I thought because I had marital issues that I could never be used of God. I thought because I realized I wasn't the greatest mom I thought I was. I realized that I wasn't who I wanted to be. And I thought because of those things that my hopes and my dreams were dead. And the Lord took those ashes and created something beautiful. And he sent my family to Mexico, which was the absolute greatest, greatest time of transformation in my life. I grew up in Mexico. I matured in Mexico. And how often are we waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for that moment? You know, Lord, when's it my moment? When's it my time, Lord? And we're mourning. And we don't realize we're mourning. And when what we need to do is we need to take those dreams, we need to take those hopes, we need to take our expectations, our disappointments, and we need to lay them on the altar before the Lord and give them to him and say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. And he will take those ashes and he will create something absolutely unrecognizable and something beautiful. You know, when my father died, we had him cremated. And we were looking into what to do with those ashes. And you know that they can take the ashes of your loved ones and turn it into a diamond. That's kind of magnificent, really. But if man can take ashes and turn it into a diamond, what can God do with those ashes? What can God do with those ashes? What can he create with those ashes? I'll tell you what he created in me, a little preacher and missionary in Mexico. We traveled all over Mexico, my family. We did unbelievable things. We've seen unbelievable miracles. We've seen people healed. We've seen people that were on their deathbeds raised up. We've seen ministries raised up and sent out. We've watched God move in unbelievable ways. And do you know what my heart used to say? Lord, I don't know why you chose me. I didn't deserve this, but I'll take it. I'll take it because I see what you're doing. Hallelujah. Yeah. He took my mourning and he took my ashes and he gave me back something beautiful. Amen. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This prophecy, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. This prophecy is about Jesus, but it became fulfilled in Luke. And it says in verse 1, I want to go to 61:1, Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. Hey, is the Spirit of the Lord upon you tonight? If you've been called, if you've been saved, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. You have been chosen for his glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is you then. And then it says, to preach good tidings to the poor. That's just to share what Jesus did for you. You don't have to be behind a pulpit to share. Do you know where our favorite speaking was done in Mexico? Out in the streets, out in the conchas, soccer fields. We'd go out into the soccer fields or out where there was just grass, and we'd just share. We'd hand out food and tell people how much Jesus loved them. One time we went, I don't know why the Lord is bringing this to my mind, but I'm going to tell you because he's telling me. So one time we worked with a pastor and we went to a little soccer field and we were doing an outreach to the children in the area, and we took hot dogs and drinks and chips and I don't remember what all else, and we put on a little show for the kids and we played games with them and gave out little prizes and little things. And all of a sudden I saw a big truckload of Federales coming. And you can tell them because they all wear masks. You can't see who they are. They're always in a big truck, and there's like 8 or 10 in this truck, and then a couple in the front, and they've all got these huge guns. And the Lord said, go invite them in. Oh, sure, I can do that. So I went running out of the soccer field, out to the street. Hey, 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 over here. They pull off over there, and my mom was resting. She was down there on this trip. And my mom was resting in the car because she had gotten tired and cold. And she saw that truck of Federales pull up, and she sat up and she said, oh God, don't let them arrest her for feeding the poor. And I went up to the truck and I said, hey, we're doing an outreach here to the kids, and we're feeding them and telling them about Jesus, and Jesus told me about you all. And they just look at me. I said, I want to feed you. I want to give you some food and something to drink, and I want to thank you for the job you're doing to keep Mexico safe. I want to thank you for the sacrifices you're making. And every one of those Federales got down off that truck and came to eat. The pastor at the he thought I was absolutely crazy. He thought I was out of my head. They all took their guns and they pushed them back behind us because it's a rule. They can't take them off. They can't set them down. And so one of the gentlemen had to stay with the truck. That's another rule. One always has to be at the vehicle. And so it was 12 men. And so 11 came over and we fed them hot dogs. And as, what an amazing moment this was. As we began to feed them, the children began to get curious. Most kids are afraid of Federales in Mexico, because they're the ones that goes after the cartel and after the drug people, and they've got these guns, and they do all kinds of things with those guns. And they, as they began to eat, the children got curious and began to come and talk with them. And I watched these 11 Federales get down kid height and begin to talk to the children while they ate. And all of a sudden, something new was taking place in this soccer field. Holy Spirit was moving in a whole new direction. And do you know, before these Federales left, I got their names down on a piece of paper, all 12 of them, that I still have somewhere in the stuff we moved. And I prayed for them before they left, and I have continued to pray for those 12 Federales since then. I asked them before they left, before you go, can I please pray with you? And I will keep your names, and I will pray with you, pray for you from now until Jesus takes me home. And they gave me their names, which Federales never give out their names because they don't want the cartel to be able to come after them. They gave me their names. They wrote them down for me on a piece of paper. And then I prayed over those 12 lives before they left. Amazing, huge things from this girl who was mourning what she thought her life was or had become, who is mourning the loss of, she didn't even know what. And then God took us to Mexico and my whole world changed. Hallelujah. And I still have those names. It says to preach good tidings to the poor. That's just to share Jesus any way you can. If it's a hot dog and a drink and a bag of chips and a little prayer of protection and love over you or over someone, that's all it takes. It says, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh,
All we have to do is pray. There are so many people broken and hurting in the world today, and all we have to do is pray with them. A simple prayer can do so much. Sometimes prayer seems like the powerless thing to do when it is the most powerful thing we can do. Prayer moves mountains. Prayer opens closed doors. Prayer changes ashes into something beautiful. Hallelujah. And then it says to proclaim liberty to the captives. All we have to do is tell the people who are captive, who are bound in sin, who are hurt, who are broken, who are lost. All we have to do is begin to share Jesus. All we have to do is tell them what Jesus did for you. You know, the most important story, I think, of what God did for me is He set me free from fear and anxiety. I used to have panic attacks and anxiety attacks. I couldn't preach in large meetings. I couldn't preach or go to women's retreats or women's meetings. I couldn't do any of that before God delivered me. He delivered me of all my fears. He delivered me of my anxiety. I haven't had a panic or an anxiety attack since the day God delivered me. What year did we go to Mexico? In 2001, February 2001, God set me free from anxiety and fear. And I haven't had a single attack since then. All we have to do is share that story. Share your story. Share what God has done for you. You know, and as I was mourning for my father, the Lord quickened my heart. Do you know there is something beautiful that has come out of the loss of my father? And that is the knowledge of where my dad is. My dad is walking the streets of gold. My dad is where Jesus is. My dad is worshiping at the throne of God. My dad is no longer in pain. My dad doesn't live every day wondering if he's going to make it till the end of the day. My dad isn't sick and throwing up all the time. My dad is whole and he is healthier than he's ever been. And he is alive with his Savior. That is something beautiful. When all that connected inside of me, the mourning stopped. Doesn't mean I don't miss him, but I'm not grieving. I'm not grieving. I know where my dad is, and I know how he is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you have someone living in captive in your life, or if you know someone who's captive to the enemy, to sin and destruction, you also know that you have been called and you have been anointed to set those captives free. And it begins with telling them about Jesus and sharing your story. Praise the Lord. And then it says, and open the prison to those who are bound. Do you know, prisons are dark places, or they used to be, especially now. I guess there's all kinds of electric lighting, but long time ago, there wasn't lights in a prison, and they were very, very dark and dank places. Hallelujah. The world is dark, and the world is dank, and the world is stifling. But do you know that each of us individually are a light enough to light up any dark place? And we can share the gospel and it sparks light to someone else. Whew, all we have to do is share. Share the gospel. Share what Jesus has done. Share how much Jesus loves them. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Oh, all that means is that we can tell the captive Jesus has set them free. They don't have to stay captive because whatever is holding them captive, Jesus has already defeated it. Jesus has already done the work, and all they have to do is accept Christ and his work on the cross, and they will no longer be captives too. Hallelujah. Woo. And this one. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Do you know what the acceptable year of the Lord is? It's a phrase that appears in the Bible, in this scripture in Isaiah, but also in Luke 4:19. Also, this is a reference to the year of Jubilee from the book of Leviticus chapter 25.
The year of Jubilee was a holy year that was celebrated every 50 years. And it was intended to be a remedy for the poverty and the slavery and the bondage. So during the year of Jubilee, all of the slaves were set free. All of the captives were released. And any debt that you owed was canceled. And if you had land that was sold or taken or whatever, it was given back to the original owners. Their inheritance was returned. Jesus did that for you and me. He is our inheritance. And when he died on the cross, everything we lost in the Garden of Eden, everything we lost was returned to us when he died and he rose again. We have an inheritance because of what he did. We have a right to everything because of what he did. Woo, that is powerful stuff. Oh, that is what that means, to proclaim the acceptable year. And then it says, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, and to give them beauty for ashes. That is what God did for me. And I can see it now. I can see the beauty that came from those ashes. From what I thought was nothing and what was useless and unserviceable. I can see the beauty that the Lord has brought forth through that. Hallelujah. It says to give the oil of joy for mourning. It says oil is a symbol of anointing. An anointing is a representation of God's presence with us through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings joy into our lives because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. So when we're in Christ, Holy Spirit is in us, which is the anointing and the presence of God living in us here and now. And Holy Spirit brings the fruit of the Spirit, which joy is the number one fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. That is exciting to me. And it says the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, a garment is something you put on. It's something you can put on. It's something you can take off. But a garment is clothing. It says, so something you put on. The garment of praise is a spiritual garment. Okay, so you might not see it with these physical eyes, but it is a spiritual act, a verb, a spiritual action of putting on praise, even when you don't want to. Even when you've lost something or you're losing something. You know, I remember when I found out my dad passed away. We were at Ocean Shores. We thought we'd sneak in a little weekend getaway and we'd be back Monday morning to get my dad at the hospital. Didn't work out that way. And as we're driving, I just kept saying, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Because it's all I could say. It's all I could say. I was choosing to put on the garment of praise. Even when I was in mourning, even when I didn't feel like it, even when I wanted to scream at the top of my lungs, even when I wasn't in agreement with this, I didn't like this, but I was choosing to put on a garment of praise. And even though all I could get out was, Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I thank you. Even in this, I thank you. Even in this, I stand on you. Hallelujah. It got me through. Hallelujah. A garment that you put on over your spirit to express an inner attitude. I was choosing to praise even in one of the most difficult moments of my life. I was acknowledging God as the source of my strength and my joy, even in the midst of my mourning. Hallelujah. It's also a weapon against the lies of the enemy. When the enemy comes against us, if we put on that garment of praise and we begin to praise the Lord and we begin to worship Him, when the enemy is coming at us, our attitude changes. How we see things changes. How we feel changes. And we become stronger and we begin to change because we've put on the garment of praise, because we're rising up even in tribulation and trial, and we are praising the God of creation, things change. Hallelujah. Oh, praise your name, Lord. And it says that they may be called trees of righteousness. Oh, imagine a tree planted by the hand of God, touched by the anointing and the presence of God. Imagine how strong that tree is. Imagine how indestructible that tree is. That's you and I. We are trees He planted. We are seeds He planted to grow into trees of righteousness, that we would be strong and that others would be able to see what God had planted, to see what God has done and give Him glory because of our lives. Hallelujah. We are the planting of the Lord. You and I, we are the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. That He may be glorified. Well, I don't know if what has changed, if that isn't changed. My life did not glorify God, but it is glorifying God. We come out of sin, out of a life that's not glorifying to the Lord, and we are planted in His Word, and change begins to happen because of what Christ did on the cross. And every time we deny our flesh, we deny the enemy, change is taking place in us. Hallelujah. Woo! And great things are happening even when we can't see it or we don't feel it. God never sleeps. His Holy Spirit is always working in us and with us and through us if we'll allow Him to. And if that's not change, I don't know what is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Christ bought a whole new time for us, and it's the period of grace. We live in the period of grace. Hallelujah. It's our time of jubilee, because when Christ was born, that was fulfilled. Hallelujah. And that means that every day, every year is jubilee for you and me, because we were captives that have been set free. Our inheritance that was stolen in the Garden of Eden has been returned. Hallelujah. And everything that Christ did on the cross for you and I is here and now. Hallelujah. It's the year of jubilee for you and me. Hallelujah. It's the year of jubilee every day, every year, because Christ is alive and He's still at work. And what He did 2,000 years ago still applies today. And it is just as powerful today as it was then. It doesn't diminish His power. His anointing is growing stronger, because now it's not just Jesus walking on the earth teaching. It is Jesus who has discipled us and called us to walk the earth, has called you and me to be this verse, to do this verse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He has paid for us, so we are free to change. Hallelujah. He has set us free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to mourn what could have been or what was, because we live in the here and now with Jesus today. Ooh, and He takes the ashes and brings forth beauty. Hallelujah. Beauty for ashes is what Christ brings to all of us. And He can take those ashes and He can bring forth such marvelous beauty. And all we have to do is give those ashes to Him. This is my favorite Bible verse. Well, first I'm going to do this one, not my favorite, but it's a very good one. It's just as good. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's the first step of change, to have our minds renewed through the Word. If Jesus said it, I believe it because his word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. That's a song we used to sing, and we need to remember that. The word is more truth than you and I could ever know. Praise the Lord. Now, my favorite verse, Romans 12:2 is the beginning of change. 2 Timothy 2, verse 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself of the latter, being dishonor, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Oh, this verse. I love this verse. You know why I love this verse? Because it's all about my choosing, my choice. It says, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. Do you want to be a vessel for honor tonight? All we have to do is be cleansed. That's it. Be cleansed. When we came to Christ, we chose to be vessels of honor. And we get to make that choice every day, over and over and over again. Doesn't matter what we were born into. Doesn't matter what we were born out of. What matters is what we choose here and now. What we choose every day. What we choose at the beginning of every new morning. I choose grace. I choose love. I choose change. Because I don't want to be the same tomorrow that I was today. And I don't want to be the same today or the same tomorrow who I was today. Because every day I want to draw closer to my Lord. Because every day I want to give to Him what is due His name. Power to change. The blood for change. Oh, praise the Lord. The fulfillment of this verse changes everything. The fulfillment of Isaiah 61 changes everything for you and me. That verse is all about change. It's all about what was and what was going to be. And in Luke chapter 4, it's what it became. It's a done thing. Change is assured for you and I because this prophecy was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. And so I don't know if you're here tonight or if you're watching and you have lost hopes or dreams or things that you wish could have been different or would have been different or should have been different. Or maybe you're not who you want to be. Or maybe things haven't turned out the way you thought they should. It's okay. You can surrender those things at the altar before the Lord, and He will take out of those ashes and He will bring something beautiful into your life because it's what He does. Hallelujah. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. Look at that. First time on time ever. Woohoo. Of course, Charles looked at me and said, you know, that's only one verse, right? I mean, that's essentially one verse. Are you sure you're going to go there? But I didn't, did I? I had to change it, didn't I? Well, Holy Spirit is faithful. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's all close. If you're watching tonight, if you joined us on YouTube or a New Beginning Facebook channel, thank you. Thank you for tuning in. If you were a part of Giving Tuesday, thank you for that. Woo! Thank you for that. God bless you just 100-fold. We appreciate you and we love you and we just want to say thank you and a big God bless you to you. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this verse fulfilled. We thank you for the fulfillment of prophecy, of every prophecy of Christ. We thank you for the fulfillment of those prophecies. We thank you for what you're working in us and what you're doing in us. We thank you for your presence with us every day, Father. And Lord, I just ask you to bless your people. Draw them closer to you. Stir, Father, in the deep places of their spirits for your glory, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray.